Well, good morning. Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, whether in these pews or online, whether today or throughout the week. We are really happy to be with you today. And also, this is a Communion Sunday. As you see in front of me, we've got the elements here. If you are joining us at home, there will be several times throughout the service that you will be able to take a moment to grab elements from your pantry and join us in that. One reminder is that the annual meeting of this congregation is next week after the 9:30 worship service. It typically is a pretty short meeting, so we'll hope for that. Our esteemed moderator is a taskmaster. She's good at that sort of thing, and I also want to just say that we've got a couple of folks who are supporting Ainsley at her hockey game today. I told Tiffany I wish I could have been there. I said I'm a little busy on Sunday mornings. She goes, "Colleen sick," and I'm like, "Well, council probably wouldn't like that too much, but we have John, so you know." Give some good thoughts Ainsley's way today. They're playing in Waupun today. So, are there any other announcements?
Please pick up annual reports. They're right behind me in the back here. And
yes.
If you need extras,
indeed.
Let me know.
Yes, indeed.
That way you can load them over in case there are any questions.
Well, I have three announcements, but they took too long. So, my only other announcement is this year we need to do the bylaws again because it is 5 years since they've been done. So if you would like to volunteer for that or know of someone that has done it in the past, it would be greatly appreciated and very helpful.
Thank you. And probably don't volunteer anybody else without asking them. Just to be clear, all right? any other announcements? Seeing none, let's share the peace of Christ with one another, and remember that there are lots of things going around. So just be mindful of doing that. But keeping that in mind, let's share the peace of Christ.
Please stand if you're able and join me in the call to worship. In the Holy One, we take refuge. Let us never be put to shame. Our praise is continually of you. In your righteousness, deliver us, and hear our cries for justice and peace. In the Holy One, we draw strength. Let us never be put to shame. Our praise is continually of you. In the Holy One, we receive courage. Let us never be put to shame. Our praise is continually of you.
Rescue us, O my God, from
Join me in the opening prayer. Emmanuel, we come in our midst. You amaze and inspire, challenge and convict, comfort and fortify. May we be open and receptive to your voice and presence among us. Let your words encourage us to be prophetic, passionate, and public in our ministry as we praise and honor your name. Our hymn is number 231, Arise, Your Light Has Come.
Amen. You may be seated.
Please join me in the prayer for transformation and new life. God who knows us, we pray that you form and shape us anew. Remind us who we are and draw us back to you. Transform us in love, correct us with compassion, and lead us with clarity into the paths of righteousness, truth, and peace. Forgive us for the ways that we reject your presence, your guidance, and your will. Redeem and restore us as your beloved creation and active citizens of your kingdom. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Beloved, love never ends. You reflect the goodness, creative work, and imagination of God. The Holy One knows you well and calls you good. Receive the grace of God to live a life that ever transforms and renews through the power of God's abiding and constant and tangible love. Amen.
All right. I don't see a lot of kids with us, so Jacob, will you come on down over
here?
Yeah. I've recruited, some voluntarily, some not so voluntarily, the awesome O'Donovan and Teletsky pew to help me out. I'm going to ask Linda to take care of the stopwatch. Top right is start and stop. Go ahead and practice. And top left is clear. Top right is start and stop. Top left is clear it. Got it? All right. And you can sit down or you can remain standing. It's up to you. And you can take a turn at this if you want, or you can pass it on to John. I brought this little device with me. It's a little copper spiked ball. It won't hurt. It doesn't. It's got nice rounded edges. And this cage. And today I'm taking the lesson is love is patient. And I took it out of Corinthians. So I was going to take this. So yesterday it took me like 20 seconds to get the ball out of the cage. And I thought, oh great, I'll take it up to children's time, I'll leave it out. So I left it out all night. And then this morning I was practicing and I thought, well, really, I should put the ball back in the cage in front of you guys. Well, I had to practice a lot of patience. It took me like 6 minutes to get the ball back in the cage. And here I thought I knew the answer or the little trick. It took me like 6 minutes. So I was practicing patience. I was practicing my own patience. So I'm going to have you play this game where you get 30 seconds. 30 seconds to try to take the ball out of the cage. And Linda is going to be the timer. And when she says pass, your turn's over. Even if you want to keep trying, your turn is over and you must pass it on to the next person. All right, and I'm going to let Lois start, and Gordy can cheer her on. All right. And just interrupt me and feel free to say pass, and don't worry about interrupting me. Okay. So the definition of patience is the ability to wait for something without getting upset and maintaining a positive attitude. So I was picturing all my little kids up there being patiently waiting for their turn, but also being willing to pass it when the 30 seconds is up. See, oh, Lois, she was showing patience. She's like, so our game practices patience. And I thought about my own patience, like patience with my husband at Menards. One day we needed a new toilet. Yeah, toilet, right? Oh my gosh, after like 10, 12 minutes of him studying toilets at Menards, I'm like, I'm going by the food. I'm going to go see if I can find some deals on chips and cereal. I came back, he was still looking at toilets. He's got to read everything about toilets. And you can do the same thing with light bulbs.
Light bulbs?
Light bulbs. Oh, yeah. He can tell you all about the watts and the lumens and, oh. It'll go on and on, and it'll go right over my head.
Oh, boy.
But he practices patience, too. When it's time to leave after Christmas to get-togethers, reunions, when it's time to leave, that usually means like an hour later.
Yeah.
After you've hugged everyone goodbye and made sure, yeah.
The Wisconsin goodbye.
Yes, you know, the Wisconsin goodbye. Definitely prevalent in my family. So then my question to the, no one got it? She said it's kind of like the toilet scenario. She hasn't got it. So I was going to ask the little kids, do we ever have to practice patience with our parents? Hmm. Like when you want to get a ride to your mom and dad's house?
Yep.
Get a ride to practice, and it takes mom, like she's got to finish like 18 things right before she takes you.
Yeah.
And we were going to talk about practicing patience and how important it is.
And so since we're talking to a lot of adults here, how often do you have to practice patience with your children?
Oh, boy. And with each other, right?
Spouses, maybe.
Daily.
Yeah. And so I was just going to tie it up with, the humanics are trying it now, that's good. I was just going to tie it up with patience is so important, and it really does show love. And we can practice patience by just listening to each other, taking the time to let your spouse say all those goodbyes, because you never know, you know, when our turn comes. Yeah. So you want to lead us in prayer?
Absolutely. I'm going to say a short phrase, and I invite you to repeat it back to me. Dear God, thank you for reminding us to be patient with one another, even when it's hard. Help us share your love wherever we go. Amen. Thank you, Becky. Thank you.
Today's scripture is found in Luke 4, verses 21 through 30. He began to explain to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled just as you heard it." Everyone was raving about Jesus. So impressed were they by the gracious words flowing from his lips. They said, "This is Joseph's son, isn't it?" Then Jesus said to them, "Undoubtedly, you will quote this saying to me, 'Doctor, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we've heard you did in Capernaum.'" He said, "I assure you that no prophet is welcome in the prophet's hometown. And I can assure you that there are many widows in Israel during Elijah's time when it didn't rain for 3.5 years and there was a great food shortage in the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to a widow in the city of Zarephath in the region of Sidon. There were also many persons with skin diseases in Israel during the time of the prophet Elijah, but none of them were cleansed. Instead, Naaman the Syrian was cleansed." When they heard this, everyone in the synagogue was filled with anger. They rose up and ran him out of town. They led him to the crest of a hill on which their own town had been built, so that they could throw him off the cliff. But he passed through the crowd and went on his way. Here end the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sue. Yeah. Our media song today comes from Sarah Bareilles and John Legend. This is "A Safe Place to Land."
Safer than breathing, and let go.
Thank you, Chris, for putting that together. That was lovely. My friends, will you join me in prayer? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in this hour be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There's an old adage that seminarians are often taught. Preach what your congregation needs to hear, not just what they want to hear. There are some times when pastors have to use their position of trust and, yes, even power to say some things that not everybody is going to agree with. But that doesn't give the pastor carte blanche to alienate people or get on a personal soapbox that doesn't move the congregation forward in some way, or give them something useful to think about as they go through their lives. Whenever a pastor shares difficult truths with a congregation, it always has to be done with the best intent possible, so that the sacred trust of pastor and people isn't hurt too badly. But at the same time, sometimes when a pastor speaks truth to a congregation, it's not always received so well. Sometimes the pastor gets a letter. Sometimes eyebrows will raise in the pews. Sometimes people even leave the church. Sometimes churches threaten to throw their pastor off a cliff. My health insurance is pretty good, but probably not that good. So I hope that you won't do that. But there are certain times when a pastor has to say what needs to be said in order for the congregation to move forward and become the best version of what God is calling them to become. Now, I'm sharing this with you today because that's the kind of thing that Jesus does in today's text, and also because I think that's what Jesus is calling us to do in this church. And I'll talk about what he said, how it was received, and bring it back to what it means for us. So let's set the scene here. Jesus is coming back to his hometown after performing glorious signs in Capernaum. The hometown boy is making his long-awaited return. The commentator Ruth Ann Reese points out that now word has gotten around about what Jesus has done in Capernaum, and now the people of Nazareth want him to show off. It's almost as if they're saying, look at little Jesus all grown up. Now he's coming back to his hometown. Show us what you got, kid. Because the people are amazed and want to see the same things in Nazareth that Jesus did in Capernaum. After all, if they got to see what he had done for themselves, they would feel pretty important. They would feel like they were pretty hot stuff. But unfortunately for the people in Nazareth, who are expectantly waiting for Jesus to do something extraordinary, Jesus tells them that it doesn't work that way. Jesus tells them instead that they're not special. Jesus accuses them of not truly being able to accept him and his ministerial leadership, because all they're ever going to see him as, little Jesus, all grown up. It's kind of like when my home church in Neenah was searching for their now current pastor, my buddy Rob Van Ness, who used to be in Fond du Lac. One person actually said to my mom, "Why can't Jacob be our pastor? He's a pretty nice guy, and like he would do a good job, right?" So my mom is relaying this story to me, and I said, "Well, yeah, you know, that would never work because you're the church secretary, and there's no way in you know where that you are going to let me tell you what to do." Right? Instead, Jesus tells them who he's actually there for and who his ministry actually benefits. He says a couple of verses earlier in our lectionary, in verses 18 and 19, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, and to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This is a pretty famous scripture. You might remember this. He then goes on to give them examples of times when people before him had tried and failed to do ministry in their own hometown, because their hometown never understood them as people who were anointed by God to do God's work. And so he wasn't even going to try with them, because they wouldn't ever be able to get over this little Jesus all grown up image. This is a prime example of telling people not what they want to hear, but what they need to hear. And oh, were those people mad. Jesus was not there to give to show them cool party tricks after all, right? And all of a sudden, they're filled with rage, and they want to throw him off a cliff. Jesus was there to tell people what was actually important and what the people failed to understand. Jesus' ministry was not just for them, but it was for everybody. And of course, their plan to throw him off a cliff is foiled, and Jesus finds a way through them and goes on his way. So I've been thinking a lot this week, because there are lots of disturbing things going on in the news. During a press briefing, President Trump blamed a horrible, catastrophic, and deadly plane crash on diversity efforts, saying that if the Federal Aviation Administration hadn't hired disabled people, none of this would have happened, even though disabled workers have to meet the same standards as everybody else, and in fact, sometimes have to prove themselves even more. Many people are now lobbying and working against the rights of LGBTQ plus people, especially children, which is already instilling fear in the hearts and minds of those most vulnerable. These are the people who are oppressed in our country and in our world today. And I believe these people are who Jesus came for. Again, he says, "God has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The question becomes, are we ready to follow that Jesus, knowing the risks? Now, there are a lot of churches in this town. I passed 5 just on the way home, many of whom hold different beliefs than we do. But so many of us have come to this church because we believe that this is a place where those who are unwelcome in other churches find a place here. It's a place where those of us who have been oppressed, discriminated against, and marginalized can truly belong. This is a place where we find true and genuine and non-judgmental community. That's part of why we chose today's media song. For some of us, there have been times when holding our breath is safer than breathing, when letting go is braver than keeping. There are some of us who have had to let go of what they knew in order to come to this church, hoping that somebody, somewhere would reach out a hand and offer them a safe place to land. And that's what we do for a lot of people. But this is the where the rubber hits the road. Jesus had to take lots of risks in sharing his message with others. And if we truly want to follow Jesus, we have to be willing to do the same. We need to be willing to tell people not just what they want to hear, but also what they need to hear. There is something that I believe some people in this community outside of our church need to hear, even if they may not like it so much. People in this community need to hear that this is a church where hate and discrimination are not welcome. Hate and discrimination have no home here. We aren't going to turn you away if you've made mistakes in your life or if you have a lifestyle that other people don't agree with. You can come here with your questions, with your doubts, if you're not sure what you believe or if other churches in your life have hurt you. And we will hold all of that with you and accompany you on your journey, however winding it might be. What I'm saying isn't new to many of the people sitting here. Many of us know this, and that's why we're here. But if we want to grow our church, if we want other people to know about us and what we believe, I sometimes think that we might have to take more risks than what we think we might have to. Worrying about what other people will think of us does not help our mission and vision reach any further. The only thing that helps our mission and vision reach any further is being authentic to who we are, what we believe, and what God calls us to be. You know, other churches are watching to see if we are going to truly live out what we say we believe. And I think we know what it means to put our faith into action. I think we know what it means. And so we in this time have a job to do. We in this time have a job to do to make sure that we live out what we say we believe. So as you go into this week, I invite you to think about how you might more intentionally share the message of our church with other people in this community. How might you share what we're about and what matters to us? How might you share who you believe Jesus calls us to be? How might you share how this church has impacted your life? If we are to co-create a better world with Jesus Christ, sometimes we have to face some hard truths and say some hard things. But I have so much faith in the work of this church and what we can do together. All of us have so many gifts to offer the world. We know what it means to put our faith into action. So, my friends, let's roll up our sleeves and get to work. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now comes the time for more intentional prayer. We remember the people and situations that are in our prayers and need our love today. Let's take a moment of silence to remember those folks. Receive the prayers of our hearts, O God. Amen. I've got a couple of prayer requests, and then I will solicit yours. There are lots of folks in this community that are recovering from surgery this week. Not everybody gave me permission to tell you about it, so I'm not going to say everybody's name, but I will say Rick Van Hoff had a successful knee surgery this week, and he asks for continued prayers for recovery and gratitude for the prayers that have already been sent his way. So for Rick and for Lori, as Rick recovers, God in your mercy. Lisa Roth's friend Laura, who we prayed for last week, remember she had a biopsy, she was awaiting results to see what was going to happen with the brain tumor. Well, that brain tumor did turn out to be cancerous. So for Laura and Laura's medical team, God in your mercy. What other prayers do we bring this morning?
I ask for prayers for my brother Dan, who will be having back surgery on Thursday.
For Dan and his medical team, God in your mercy. Anything else today?
And all the families of the U.S. figure skating team who perished in the helicopter crash.
Yeah. All of the families of those who died in the terrible helicopter crash. God in your mercy. Anything else? Okay. Then let us be in prayer. God of grace and love, you remind us that sometimes following the way of your son Jesus is not easy. In fact, sometimes quite difficult. But you remind us it is always worth it. You remind us of those who most need our presence and our prayers and our attention. For those recovering from surgery, for those awaiting medical results, for those who are facing difficult medical diagnoses, for those who need hope in an absolutely devastating and hopeless time of dealing with the sudden deaths of their loved ones, and those who have targets on their backs. We ask you to empower us to be the church that you have called us to be, to show the way of love and justice to those who might need a reminder, and to offer care and compassion for those who have been hurt. We ask all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, who showed us the way and taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at Union Congregational Church, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. You may place your offering into the plate as ushers come around, or you may give your gift online at ucc.wapan.net. But however you give, may you give with the spirit of co-creating justice and joy in our ministries. Join me in the prayer of dedication. Giver of good gifts, may the gifts we give reflect your abundance and generosity. Use our time, talent, and treasure to serve our faith community and the world. May each offering be a seed that will help with faith, hope, and love. Amen. You may be seated. We now come into the time of sharing Holy Communion together. We remember that at this church, we recognize that communion is an open table of the United Church of Christ. It doesn't belong to me, it doesn't belong to you, it doesn't belong to anybody else except Christ, who is the host and invites all to participate. No matter if you are a member of this church or this denomination or not, no matter if you are a member of this of any church or not, you are welcome to join us at this table. God of love, we thank you, for in love you create us and claim us as your beloved. In love, you confront all that oppresses us and all people. And in love, you set us free. Though we reject your love for us and for others, still you are faithful. So with all creation, we sing your praise. Blessed are all who come in your name, and blessed is Jesus your Christ, who loved beyond all boundaries, who included the rejected and blessed the broken, who invited all to his table of grace. For his generosity of love, he was opposed, he was scorned, and he was crucified. But you raised him from the dead, and still he invites us to the table he shares. with all your beloved of every tribe and tradition. So on the night in which he gave himself for us, Jesus took bread. He blessed it, and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat this. This is my body, which is broken for you. Every time you eat this, do so in remembrance of me." Then after they were finished eating, he took a cup, poured it out, and gave thanks, saying, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is given for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Every time you drink this, do so in remembrance of me." As long as we break this bread and share this cup, we remember his death and resurrection until he comes again. Therefore, remembering these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in love, in holy self-giving, as we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We give thanks that at this table, all are invited, all are welcome. Is for all people, and no one is excluded. Pour out your Holy Spirits on these gifts of bread and cup, that they may be for us the body and blood of Christ. Pour out your Spirit on us, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, made not but by your grace, fearless in love, inclusive in generosity, and courageous in the face of opposition, for the sake of the wholeness of the human family, in the name and the company of Jesus. Amen. As we share the elements of this table, just a few notes. As you come, you may come up via the center aisle, and there are plates of cubed bread on either side, and there is a smaller tray that includes gluten-free bread for those who have gluten sensitivities. And then you may take a cup which contains grape juice and then return to your seat by way of the side aisle. So, friends, the gifts of God are given for the people of God. Come, for all things are now ready. Please join me in the prayer after communion. Gracious God, we thank you for this mystery in which you have given yourself to us. We come to and feed us with unexpected grace. Send us into the world to serve among those who are overlooked and rejected, to meet you among those who are not loved, to receive your grace from those who are outcast. Lead us by your Spirit in the name of Christ to bring good news to the poor. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 344, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Before I give the benediction, let us share our mission and vision statement together. We go now to love God's creation, share in fellowship, and live Christ's example while seeking God's blessings on our lives and on our communities. Living our core values, we, the family of Union Congregational Church, seek to deepen our own spirituality with acceptance of all through love and a commitment to Christ. Now, my friends, receive these words of benediction. May you go from this place remembering that you are loved, that you are beloved, and that so is everybody else. May you go from this place remembering that to follow Jesus means that sometimes we have to be courageous in sharing our love and sharing the hope that we have found through his message. You have so many gifts to give. You have so many things to offer this hurting world. May you go empowered, and may you go with God. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace. Amen.